KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's mostly clear and 24 degrees in Atlantic. We look forward to be mostly sunny and windy today with a high of only 35. Good morning, I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News, brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV satellite systems dealer. They're located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. In area news, Atlantic is one of three cities to host public meetings across the state in the next 3 weeks to gather input on proposed water quality standards, designated use changes for a fourth batch of select rivers and streams. Meetings, which are hosted by the Iowa Department of Natural Resources, are being held to gather input on changes designed to help protect aquatic life and recreational uses. The meeting here in Atlantic will take place on Tuesday from 3 to 6 p.m. at the historic Rock Island Depot at 102 Chestnut Street. If you're not able to attend the meetings, you may submit written comments or questions through December the 10th. There's an address on under the same story on our website on KJAN.com. Just click on the news tab and scroll on down. There's also a phone number and email address that you can use. News time is 8:01.
Hi, this is Jesse Swanson with the TV Store, your locally owned Verizon authorized wireless retailer in Atlantic. Are you dreading the long car ride on vacation and hearing your kids saying, "Are we there yet?" Well, I have a solution for you. A 4G LTE smartphone from Verizon Wireless. You can keep your kids entertained with many different games that you can put on your 4G LTE smartphone, and you can make sure they know exactly how close you are to your final destination with turn-by-turn directions with the free GPS service that comes on all Droid products. You can even check the weather on the go with a 4G LTE smartphone, as you have internet wherever you go. To get set up with your new 4G LTE smartphone, stop in at the TV Store at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic or call 243-3032. We're here to answer any questions you might have about your Verizon Wireless cell phone and provide you with the best possible customer service. Activation, upgrade, early termination, and other fees apply. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com. Smartphones required at data pack.
Flood recovery, appropriate prioritization of flood control and river management and water allocation are the top items on the agenda for the state interagency Missouri River Authority's November 14th meeting that will be held in Council Bluffs. The Iowa DNR said the group will get an update on the continuing dry conditions and, in a related matter, will discuss two U.S. Army Corps of Engineer reports. One report provides a five-year plan for managing surplus water in the Missouri River system of reservoirs. The other is a report on the Corps' startup efforts to change the permanent allocation of Missouri River water for municipal and industrial use. Also on the agenda are updates from the State Hydrology Work Group at the Sediment Management Meeting, the County Official Coalition, and a committee working on the Missouri River Recovery. And MidAmerican Energy will discuss its perspective on the operation of the river. Missouri River Authority is an interagency interstate group that makes recommendations on policies affecting the Missouri River. The group will meet from 9 a.m. to 1 p.m. in the Iowa School for the Deaf Lead Multipurpose Complex in Council Bluffs, and that meeting is open to the public. If you're interested in attending, you can join in a conference call by dialing 866-685-1580 and then follow the prompts, typing in the conference code followed by the pound number sign, and that information is available under the same story on our website as well. Elsewhere in Western Iowa news, the death of a construction worker is under investigation in Sioux City. Police say the worker died Saturday while helping to build the new Sabre Industries campus in a Sioux City industrial park. The accident was reported around 1:30 p.m. Saturday. Details of how the worker died weren't immediately available, and police did not release the name of the worker who was killed, as of yet anyway. Authorities are also investigating a rollover crash that killed one Northwest Iowa teen and injured two others. The crash happened around 2:30 Saturday afternoon in Plymouth County. The Remsen Fire Department found that 17-year-old Matthew Garretts had been thrown from the SUV he was driving and died at the scene. Garretts' two passengers, 16-year-old Mindy Garretts and 15-year-old Philip Rankin, were taken to an area hospital for treatment of their injuries. The Iowa Department of Revenue has set the value that's used to determine the property tax values for the state. The department's Julie Royson said the rollback value, as it's known, is mandated by state law.
The rollback calculations are designed to keep aggregate taxable values across the state for residential, agricultural, and commercial properties, if they qualify, to keep them from growing more than 4% statewide.
The taxable value was raised to 52.81% compared to the previous rate of 50.75% in 2011 to show the changes in property value.
Aggregate taxable value has grown, and so therefore the local governments may see a higher collection dependent upon what they did with their levies.
And the county auditors use the figure set by the department to each property to compute the tax value that's used for property taxes.
The whole idea is to keep the statewide taxable value from shooting up dramatically. Now, it does not speak to an individual particular property at a parcel level. If the assessed value of an individual property grew dramatically for whatever reason, they would see an increase in their tax burden because their assessed value grew, and then you apply the rollback.
The tax values based on 2012 will be paid by property owners in fiscal year 2013-2014 will not be determined until local taxing bodies establish their property tax needs. That'll take place sometime early next year. An Iowa motorcycle driver was critically hurt when he collided with a sport utility vehicle in Des Moines over the weekend. Police say 38-year-old Bradford Kleichman is not expected to survive the injuries he sustained Saturday, even though he was wearing a helmet. Police say the 42-year-old driver of a Kia SUV turned left in front of Kleichman as both vehicles were in the same intersection. Matthew Rodine's SUV collided with Kleichman's motorcycle. Rodine was not hurt in the crash. Police have said alcohol was not a factor in the crash. It happened around 4:30 p.m. Saturday, but they are continuing to investigate. Authorities say there was no brotherly love at play when a 62-year-old Mason City man reportedly fired shots at his brother's vehicle. The Mason City Globe-Gazette reports the shooting occurred Friday afternoon in a neighborhood just southwest of Mason City. There were no injuries reported. Cerro Gordo County Sheriff's deputies were sent to the area for a report with a man with a gun. The caller told authorities that a man had shot at his brother's vehicle and was roaming the area on foot. After a short search, the man was found and arrested without incident. He was taken to Mercy Medical Center North, Iowa, for evaluation. A central Iowa man who died in a farm accident last week has been identified. 79-year-old Russell Bohanek of Chelsea died Thursday afternoon. Authorities say Bohanek was working on an old corn picker when it fell on him, pinning him underneath. He was pronounced dead at the scene. A Vietnam veteran has regained a special ring that he lost at Lake Delhi 41 years ago. John Jones served in what was South Vietnam during parts of 1968 and 69. He then had a gold ring that included his initials and social security number, which also served as his Army serial number. He lost the ring in 1971 while swimming at Lake Delhi in eastern Iowa. When the lake's dam broke in 2010, collectors used metal detectors, scoured the lake bottom, and one of them, Steve Gola from Grays Lake, Illinois, found Jones's ring. It took a couple of years to locate Jones, but Gola was finally able to return the ring to him during a Veterans Day event at the Veterans Memorial Auditorium in Des Moines. A Marion police sergeant has been convicted of disobeying orders from water patrol officers at Coralville Reservoir. Sergeant Philip Fort was found guilty of the charge by a Johnson County jury last week. He was found not guilty of violating no-wake buoys. Fort was not on duty August 19th when he stopped his boat at the request of Iowa Natural Resources Department Water Patrol officers. They allege he was violating boat wake restrictions being signaled by the placement of control buoys. They also say Fort refused to keep his boat near them, so he gave them a citation that they were preparing. The Iowa Parole Board is proposing to reduce the number of board votes needed to parole high-risk inmates, but would toughen the risk assessments. The legislature's Administrative Rules Committee is scheduled to vote tomorrow on that proposal. The proposal would trim the number of votes to 3 needed for parole from the 5 votes needed under current rules guiding the 5-member board. The proposal also adds new risk assessments, including those that would rate the likelihood that an inmate would engage in violent crimes if being released. Opponents say that despite the new assessments, the proposal raises risks to the public. And Iowa voters used to consistently support Republican presidential candidates, but ever since the late 1980s, the state has been leaning toward Democrats. Iowans chose Democratic candidates in 6 of the last 7 races, but Iowa supported Republicans in all but 5 elections between the Civil War and 1988. Experts say the voting shift is a reflection of the changing demographics of Iowa. The state is becoming more urban and better educated. But that doesn't mean Iowa will become a solid blue state, because the state's demographics may shift again and Republicans may find new ways to appeal to Iowans. and Iowa will continue to have a significant political impact as long as it holds the first caucus in the nation. Taking a look at world headlines at this hour here on KJAN, a former spokesman for David Petraeus says his wife of 38 years is furious over the affair he's admitted having. Retired Army Colonel Stephen Boylan told ABC's Good Morning America program that Petraeus' extramarital affair with biographer Paula Broadwell began after Petraeus left the Army and ended 4 months ago. Petraeus resigned last week as CIA director. Officials in Indianapolis say more than 30 homes have been damaged so badly by an explosion in a residential neighborhood Saturday night that they might have to be demolished. Two people were killed, and authorities are still looking into what caused the blast. Closing arguments are set for tomorrow in the preliminary hearing for Robert Bales. He's the U.S. soldier accused of killing 16 people in two Afghan villages. Several children were among the witnesses who testified by video link from Afghanistan over the weekend about the March 11th massacre. One child said the shooting continued after he and others yelled, "We are children." And a researcher for a leading British medical journal is calling for European governments to sue the maker of the flu drug Tamiflu. The researcher said there's no evidence the drug can actually stop the flu, and he says governments should try to get the money back that was needlessly spent on stockpiling the drug. Tamiflu is on the World Health Organization's list of essential medicines. News time is 8:11.
Camp, but don't want to miss all your favorite TV shows? Well, now you don't have to with the Tailgater from Dish.
With the Tailgater, you can access Dish chants that you would at home on the go. The Tailgater from Dish is easy to set up, so easy you can do it yourself. All you'll need is a Tailgater and a VIP 211K receiver.
Tailgater from Dish is a self-aligning dish, so all you have to do is set up the Tailgater where there are no trees. Select the state you're on, and the system will do the rest for you.
Maybe you're not camping much this summer, but plan to head somewhere warm for the winter in your RV. Well, this works for that, too.
Hi, this is Alan Josephson, owner of the TV Store, your local Dish authorized retailer. If you'd like to get set up with a tailgater from Dish or learn more about it, stop in at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic or call 243-3032.
System includes antenna and receiver. Activation fees may apply. Restrictions include prepayment of all monthly and one-time fees. Programming restrictions may apply based on location. Call for details.
In the funeral announcements, Glenn Howard Gustafson, age 90, of Adair, died Friday at Methodist Hospital in Des Moines. Funeral services for Glenn Gustafson will be today at 10:30 at the Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Adair. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home of Adair has arrangements. Homer Lauer, age 80, of the Hill of Zion area, died Thursday at his home. Funeral services for Homer Lauer will be held today at 11 o'clock at St. John's Catholic Church in Greenfield. Steen Funeral Home in Greenfield has the arrangements. Ruth Means, age 90, of Fontenelle, died Wednesday at Josie Harper Hospice House in Omaha. Graveside services for Ruth Means will be today at 11 o'clock at the Fontenelle Cemetery. Steen Funeral Home in Fontenelle has the arrangements. Sherry Lynn Peterson, age 59, of Irwin, died Thursday at the Murtu Medical Center in Harlan. Funeral services for Sherry Peterson will be today at 11 o'clock at the Church of Christ in Irwin. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has the arrangements. Rita Wagaman, age 95, of Omaha, died Thursday at the Omaha Nursing Center. A massive Christian burial service for Rita Wagaman will be held today at 11 o'clock at St. Boniface Catholic Church in Westphalia. Pauly Jones Funeral Home in Harlan has arrangements. Dwayne Nielsen, age 69, of Atlantic, died November 2nd at the Salem Lutheran Home in Elkhorn. Memorial services for Dwayne Nielsen will be this afternoon at 1 o'clock at Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic. Irma Madsen, age 91, of Kimbleton, died Thursday at Jenny Edmondson Hospital in Council Bluffs. Funeral services for Irma Madsen will be held tomorrow at 10:30 at the Emmanuel Lutheran Church in Kimbleton, with Odie Funeral Home of Kimbleton in charge of arrangements. Goldie Rose Ullman, age 97, of Anita, died Wednesday at Caring Acres in Anita. Funeral services for Goldie Ullman will be on Tuesday at 10:30 at the Hockenberry Funeral Home in Anita. And Dr. Richard Coatney, age 78, of Atlantic, died Sunday at the Cass County Hospital. Funeral services for Dr. Richard Coatney will be on Wednesday at 10:30 at the St. Peter and Paul Catholic Church in Atlantic. Hockenberry Family Care Funeral Home in Atlantic has the arrangements. Our news and funeral announcements were brought to you by the TV Store, your Verizon Wireless agent, Dish Network, and DirecTV Satellite Systems dealer, located at 907 East 7th Street in Atlantic. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.